Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today in our conversation about prayer. Every Christian has prayed the prayer of salvation. As Romans 10 says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That prayer unites us to God in a relationship. Then we have the privilege to be in his presence and talk with him every day. But we often take that privilege for granted. Prayers become recited because we don't know what to say. So join in the conversation as we dig a little deeper into the heart of prayer. I'm going to start us off today, Janie, in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. It says, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And as we talk about prayer, there are many cliches, I guess, that Christians say, like, there's power on our knees, and there's even a popular song saying, you know, when we're down on our knees, there's power, there's strength. But when we're down on our knees, we don't really know how to commune with the Lord in a real conversation. So let's talk about how to connect with God in conversation of prayer.
Well, that's a good challenge for us today. And what comes to my mind is someone that I continue to learn from, and that's Job.
Okay.
And Job communicated with the Lord as an upright man, as a righteous man, as a man that really wanted what was of God. But he had some blind spots, as we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had to take him through an uncomfortable course because of his value that he was to the Lord. And one of the scariest phrases in the Bible for me is when the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?"
Oh, yeah, seriously.
I'm thinking, Lord, I would just assume you didn't call any attention to me.
Yeah, right.
But in Job chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, let's see where Job was in his perplexity in learning how to talk with God.
Okay.
He said, "May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived." Well, Sharon, it doesn't sound like he was really content or very happy with his circumstances on how life was treating him, does it?
Right, right.
And
he was kind of cursing the day he was born, right?
Absolutely. And optimism was not really what was paramount on his agenda when he was in this trial. And many of us are seeking some optimism as we are going through lesser trials,
mm-hmm.
but nevertheless trials for where we are in life. And so I see that Job in his search and his negativity was really wanting to find how to be optimistic with the God that he loved, and he thought he was serving correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm realizing there's really two concepts to being optimistic. One of them is that we're looking at life through rose-colored glasses, and it gives us a tint to life that is really not true. It tints what we see.
Okay.
Or, Sharon, we can also look at the positive side of communing with God, and that is that we have chosen to learn how to accept his revealing to us on what he wants about life from his perspective, and then we will know better how to communicate with him in prayer.
Okay. So mm-hmm. when you say that we communicate with him properly, then we are really optimistic. Our optimism is correct.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because
so that's different than our rose-colored glasses that tints everything and makes things look better than they really are.
That's right. And it's really an unrealistic view of life.
Okay.
Right now, people are wanting to say, well, if we just try harder, or if we just get this done, or if we get that done, we can overcome our viruses. We can overcome the divisions. If we just all unite, even if we unite under dangerous agreements.
And that's sort of like just believing lies just to go along to get along, right?
Well, and Sharon, even to be more optimistic, there's just so much confusion. We really don't know what is truth and what isn't.
Oh, that's really true.
And the only way I know to make a decision on unknowns is to walk by faith in what I do know.
Right.
And that is, I've got to go back to the scriptures and see what the Lord says. Now, when we look at the strife and division that is not only in our country, but is in most countries right now, if a person faces facts that are the way they are being presented to us today, pessimism is about the only conclusion that we can come to.
Right.
But if we believe with our rose-colored glasses that everything's going to get better, just you wait and see, then life really has no tragedy. It's just a matter of time and we'll get it all together. And that's what a portion of society is telling us is going to happen. But if a person believes that there's no gaps between God and man, that we're all on the same page with God, we just have to figure out what he's saying, then you know what? Jesus Christ is much ado about nothing. If we can figure out what we're supposed to be doing to get it all right.
I see what you're saying.
Then we could just really say, Jesus Christ, it's really no big deal. We'll just figure out what's right, and we're sure he'll go along with what we have decided upon. So
Okay. We're
really seeing in vivid colors that that's not the case in reality.
So you're saying that our prayers are really being said through our perspective of what God needs to do for us, right?
Well, you know, that's kind of where Job was when he first started questioning God. He was wanting to know why everything had been taken away from him, and he was asking God to fix everything. And so God has to kind of jolt Job a little bit and said, well, Job, are you going to trust me in this? Can you grow a blade of grass? Can you hang a cloud?
Right.
He had to take Job back to the sovereignty of who he was in Job's perplexity.
Right.
And today we still are having a tendency, Sharon, to pray like Job.
And we're paralyzed in how to get past that, aren't we?
And the Lord tells us that as believers, we are a new creation in Christ. But many times we are still operating from the battle that rages with our old being, our old creation.
Right.
I referenced the Garden of Eden, and it's been going on ever since.
Right.
So Sharon, if our prayers still focus on our convenience, our deliverance from inconvenience and discomfort, if we see that our salvation is needed to bring us not into being a new creature, but into getting us just out of trouble and sorrow, we don't want the negativity. So we pray, Lord, don't let anything happen today that would cause it to spoil my life today.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You know what? Many times in his mercy and kindness, he grants that. But there are times when he says, what if I want to do something new in you? What if I have a greater purpose for you, like he had to do with Job?
Right.
Are we willing?
That is so hard.
Listen.
That's hard, Janie. I mean, the things that's coming out of your mouth, I'm like, I don't know. Am I willing? I want to be willing. I want to be willing to do whatever God wants and to go through whatever he needs.
Well, let's put a couple of new words in our vocabulary today. You know, we have special words that we always want. We want it from the heart. We have things that we say we always have to take back to the cross. There are certain subjects that we just never deviate from. But I want to give us maybe today a couple of new words to help us understand how we can pray the way the Lord wants us to pray.
Okay.
And the first word would be union. U-N-I-O-N. And that's when we really know who we are in Christ. And that's our foundation. That's our identity. We're not somebody who just walked the aisle and said, Jesus, I want you into my heart. Now I've got to figure out how I'm going to live. We know who we are in him. We know his authority. And then, Sharon, we can be as solid as a rock and our doubts will cease in how we are to pray, and we can come boldly before the throne when we need help and we're in times of trouble.
Okay.
So that union is like a position. It's a coming together, and it was made possible via the cross and what Jesus Christ did.
Okay.
So that gives us some confidence when we believe that the cross entails more than just getting us out of hell and into heaven. But it provides with us everything that we need to walk while we are here.
Okay.
Then there's another word I'd like for us to remember, and that's communion. The scripture tells us to lie upon our bed and commune with Him. It tells us to be still and know that I'm God. So out of this union comes this beautiful communion, and that basically is how we express our assurance of our relationship in talking with a father.
So it's much like uniting in a relationship, like in a marriage.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, and maybe that's one reason why we are called the bride of Christ.
Well, that's a good point.
All right. And in 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name or the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there's no division amongst you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. So now, how does the Lord take His children, His lambs, the body of Christ, with all the diversity of thought that we are being thrown at, and all of the fears that are trying to override our even seeing Him as our Savior, and how does He bring that into reality? Well, let's just look at Job. He had to take Job where Job had never gone before. He had to take him through the valley of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the valley of death, even though it felt like it to
right.
Job.
Exactly.
And then, unfortunately, Sharon, all his good friends came to help him out. And they sat silently for days, mourning with him at his condition, really feeling sorry for him. And then they decided to speak. But guess what? They didn't speak words of encouragement. They didn't say anything to help Job understand his perplexity, because Job was being fashioned into something that was going to be used thousands of years later.
That right. we still get to read about today.
That we still get right. to read about. But instead, they started to critique him.
Mm-hmm.
They started to question him and criticize him and really tear him down instead of build him up.
Right.
And there are things today to where some Christians see what God is asking and what God is demanding, but it doesn't feel good, Sharon.
Right.
It's like you've got to get off the cruise ship of luxury and comfort and convenience and get ready to wage warfare against the enemy according to the verses that you opened up with in Ephesians
right.
6.
Right.
And we don't want that.
Right.
So let me give you a couple of little one-liners to help us remember.
All right.
Union and communion.
Okay.
All right. Union is something that's done to us.
Okay.
Through the cross and accepting Jesus Christ and His finished work.
So this is salvation.
This would be salvation.
Okay.
Our position, our solidity.
Okay.
So that we can come boldly because we know our Father is going to listen to us.
Okay.
Then communion is something that is done in us as we relate to one another.
Okay.
And that's what 1 Corinthians 1:10 said. We need to be on the same mind. We need to be united in mind and thought, and we need to agree with one another. Well, when somebody is just wanting God to get us out of our hot spot where we are right now, and some other saint is saying, no, we need this hot spot because the Lord wants to move forward with His agenda, and we shouldn't be fighting Him to still stay here on our agenda of
right.
what's comfort to us.
Right. And so in order for us to be united in mind and thought, our mind and thought must be Christ.
It must be Christ-centered. And,
okay.
and before we need something that's done for us,
mm-hmm.
to benefit us, we must know that we have had something done to us and in us by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the ongoing power of the Holy Spirit every day,
right,
so that we can be one. Now we're going to go back to one of our old faithful standbys. And if your conscience is not clear, then you're not going to hear how the Holy Spirit is wanting you to be of one mind. And I find a subtle little hint on knowing how another person wants to be of one mind, or that where they want you to accept their mind, as we're seeing in secular culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, when you say something, Sharon, the person you're saying it to, do they ask you questions to know more about what you're saying if they don't understand? Or do they just say, well, Sharon, that's your opinion. I don't agree with you. You see, a hungry heart will want to know, why are you saying what you're saying, Sharon? Yeah. I don't understand, but I know you love the Lord. I know you want to walk with Him.
Yeah.
I've seen it in your life. I've heard it in your words. What are you saying, Sharon, that I don't understand? And then there's others who say, it was really great seeing you today, Sharon. Got to be running.
Yeah. Don't want to get in conversation with you.
Now, that person is still probably your dear beloved member in the family of God. But they still unknowingly or fearfully not wanting to move forward, because walking into battle,
right,
is not something you're just going to joyfully or gleefully do. The soldier gets prepped for the warfare.
So when we see others who are armed for the battle and getting ready to go on the front lines, it's a little scary to hook up with them, right?
It's scary, but you know what? I know that they understand the authority with which they're moving forward on.
Mm-hmm.
They may have an understanding of depth of Jesus Christ that He wants me to know, but I am not there yet. And there's nothing wrong with me not being there, because God's timing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But when He makes that known to me, and then I choose to go by popular thinking that keeps the comfort going, rather than the uncomfortable thinking to move forward with what God wants, then I am really refusing most of the teaching of the Old Testament, because that is an example that we have been given for thousands of years of how the Israelites did their own thing, and then they moved into their enjoyment of God's deliverance, and then they got complacent and comfortable, and we know the repetitive cycle. And Sharon, we're doing it again today.
Colossians 3:1 says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in place of honor at God's right hand. And we tend to want things the way we want them here on earth, and we're not thinking about the realities of heaven.
That's right. And that is where the mind of God resides. Jesus Christ sits positionally at the right hand of God the Father. They are working out their eternal game plan. They are bringing us back to the point of where they want us to be before the fall. And we are really subtly saying, but we kind of like the comfort of this corrupt life. Now, we don't want the bad stuff, but we still want the good stuff. And that good stuff that belongs to the old creation, Sharon, is not good stuff.
Right.
And we have a very hard time divorcing ourselves or leaving the former things that Paul said. He said, quit thinking about the things of past. Seek those things that are above.
Right.
And we are constantly given that admonition in the scriptures. And yet I have heard precious men of God glaze over this with not challenging them for heavenly realities. Because, you see, it can't be seen, it can't be felt with our senses. And so we avoid what we can't initially understand.
Okay.
And we don't like to be stretched to the unknowns unless it comforts us.
Well, you know, Jenny, I was reading Psalm 51 today, and David has just been confronted by Nathan, the prophet, of his sin. And he cries out to the Lord and says, create in me a clean heart and restore the joy of my salvation. He is looking to the depths of the deepest parts of who he is and confessing that to God. And I think that if each individual one of us would just seek God to just cleanse our hearts, help us to see ourselves, the deepest, darkest parts of who we are, so that we can come into that union and communion. Because we may have given our life to the Lord and had that union set in place years ago, but not honored that place of union. And so we come to a place of honoring that union and spending time in communion with the one who united us, who bonded us and came together to save us.
And in that same prayer of Psalms 51 that David is casually and intently communicating, talking to his Creator, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So we pray that prayer, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord says, okay, now trust me. I've heard your prayer. I'm going to bring you where you want to be. And I'm going to take it through that rough road, mm-hmm. that valley that he took Job through.
Right.
And we go, oh, wow, God didn't answer my prayer. He's taking me where a place
goodness.
That's not comfortable for me.
Right.
I want him to do all these things, but Lord, don't take me out of my comfort zone
right.
so that I can learn what you want. And the Lord says, we are paralyzed until you're going to be ready by faith to
yeah.
trust me that and to get a
willing.
Broken heart, you've got to have a broken, strong will that you're not even aware of.
Okay.
And so the pain increases, the negativities, the trials increase.
So then we start thinking that God doesn't care about
That's
us.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. And so
I've broken myself, I've come into communion, and then the Lord has just abandoned me.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you notice, I have done this, I have broken myself, I've come into communion. Oh, no, oops, you haven't. You just have to submit when he does. And it can bring, well, look at, I know we're on Job today, but look at Job at his perplexities. And it's 40-some chapters in Job, God had to take Job before Job could finally say, and I think it's chapter 42, I have heard of you with my ears, but now my eyes see you, and I repent in dust and ashes,
mm.
because he had a broken heart.
Mm.
And then God blesses him with double of everything that he had lost. Now, sometimes you're not going to get a double blessing
right,
here,
right, right.
but you sure will when you see him face to face.
Oh, and Janie, those blessings that come that are internal are so much more valuable than the external blessings that we all claim and praise and get excited about.
And then those are the testimonies that you give forth that changes people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, I think, Sharon, in us wrapping it up today, the weakest Christian praying becomes the strongest force against the enemy. The devil trembles at one who will bow down before the Lord with their heart
mm-hmm.
dependent upon God as their only source, and knowing that the devil and his fallen forces were defeated at Calvary. So just recognize today, I don't care how weak you think you are, you start off with Jesus, I need you, I want to know you, and I want to know how to serve you according to your heart and mind.
Well, you know, Janie, just as food is vital for our physical life and health, prayer is vital for our spiritual life.
Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.